In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Let's start, guys, because we're late. So as you might have seen on the post, we're going to be talking about sexuality, human sexuality, and I know this is a topic that probably, like, you know, we might not feel, like, you know, really comfortable talking about it. And we know why. Like, we know we are a conservative culture to start with. We are a very conservative church. But to be honest with you, I thought, like, you know, when we were talking recently about the challenges facing our churches, and I think it was Sammy who mentioned that, like, we topics like this, we hear about it in schools, and we get all the education from school and nothing from church. So I thought that we need to have a balance, because even though we know we are maybe sheltered in a conservative church, we still live in a culture that is the opposite. And the aim of the talks is to find a balance so that eventually I'm living a life that I'm not gonna say no struggle, because then we are lying to ourselves. Because the Bible tells us that, you know, our body wants to drag us in one direction, and our spirit, like, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, wants to, you know, pull us into the other direction. And you are in the middle. You're kind of torn between the two. So the aim of the talk is to try to minimize this struggle. It's not to abolish it, because it's something innate. It's not going to be abolished. So I prayed a lot, like, you know, so that with really the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can just, like, you know, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to tonight to look at sexuality from a different angle, a very spiritual angle, okay? And then tonight you will see that I'm not going to go into, like, you know, the old traditional, you know, reasons of why probably we can't have premarital sex. I'm not going to go through that, because this is really old-fashioned and we all know it, right? So we want to just, like, you know, have a spiritual depth to why we are to do what we have to do, okay? So as I'm saying, there is, behind sexuality, there is, like, a miracle, and we would like to embrace this miracle towards our edification, not towards our destruction. And yes, I said edification, because as we will see, like, you know, this sexuality that could destroy me, it could also edify me, as we're hoping to see tonight. We know that lots of publicity uses sex, because sex is so strong as a tool to influence people and to make people, you know, maybe change directions in their life and make different choices. And we not only, like, you know, publicity, but we live in a society that is really crumbling under the weight of the choices that we are making as human beings, forgetting more and more about the rules of the games and what God has put. So we are trying to take God out of the picture. We are trying to take the rules out of the picture, and we are coming up with new rules that maybe long time ago they were looked at as, is it a sin? Now we're not talking about sin here. It's natural. It's natural, right? So I don't need to prove it to you. I see it a lot as a physician, to be honest with you, dealing with being a family doctor. You see everything. Like, you see newborns and you see geriatrics. So, like, you know, I can tell you, like, you know, lots of youth your age are suffering. They are suffering. So, and we don't want to go there, number one, or at least we want to understand, as I said, that, you know, why should I be comfortable with my, if you made the decision not to follow this culture, my, like, you know, all what I wish tonight is that at least I want you to be comfortable about this decision, not struggling. Okay, so we all struggle to a certain point, depending on how strong my spirituality is, or how weak my spirituality. We all struggle, but at least, like, if we can find a happy medium, then life is gonna be better. Okay, and I'm not gonna talk about marriage today. Just like, you know, marriage. If we just, like, you know, look into the chapters of the book of history of humanity and how marriage evolved, you know, and the ceremonies and the rules around it. It has, just like, you know, it has evolved in different. So I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about human sexuality. But just like, we always link sex to marriage, and interesting to mention here that they made a study, and they found, I think it's a study that was made in the States. They found that 2% of the people who decided to wait on sexual activity before marriage ended up in divorce. 2%. So every 100, you know, couple, two of them ended up in divorce. Versus 50% of the people who had premarital sex, 50% of them ended in divorce. And I'm talking here about the people who, like, got married. Needless to talk about the huge number of, you know, sexuality happening between, like, you know, youth or you know, younger age, and it has not reached the civil marriage or the church marriage. You understand what I'm saying? So the stats were based on people who got married, whether in a church or a civil marriage, and they found that 50% of people who chose to have premarital sex and used their sexuality early on, they ended up in divorce, which is significant when you compare 50 to 2%. Okay, so how did I prepare this talk? Honestly, it was very difficult to just, like, and I said, okay, I wanna prepare a topic about sexuality, and I just, like, you know, asked myself what could be the questions that, you know, me as a human being, or you as just, like, you know, youth, are asking. And I just, like, tried to put all those questions on a piece of paper, and we said with the servants that probably, like, of course, like, one time is not cover it all, so we will try again in June to have maybe another two sessions. We might, I don't know, we might invite speakers, and we will ask you to have, like, you know, anonymous questions, so that we end up, like, you know, coming up with something that gives us a little bit of, as I said, a little bit of understanding how we could use sexuality to build me spiritually as well. And we are not struggling that much. So expect that in June, we will be maybe discussing questions also coming from you guys. So today it's more of a, like, maybe introduction. And there are some personal, you know, meditation and personal thoughts in it. But we will, the talk is not finished today yet. Okay, so let's look at sexuality from probably, like, you know, a biological background. I know that I don't really need to explain to you how babies are made, right, Beher? Because Beher said that, explain to us how babies are made. Anyone wants to know? That's okay, I closed the door. No, just kidding. Okay, but I'm going to share with you something, speaking of just, like, you know, discovering how babies are made. I'm gonna share with you something very personal, my story when I discovered, because I didn't grow up in Canada or a country that's, like, you know, more open to talk about, you know, sex and I grew up in a very, very conservative culture back home in Alexandria, and I remember, I'll tell you how did I know about it. So I was 13 years old. Yeah, 12 turning 13. And I remember that day it was a summer camp. And after we played, like, you know, my team played soccer, and I went and I took a shower, and I was just like sitting on the bed relaxing. Bear didn't know this story, so this is just like first time. But everything, and I'm going to tell you, is true. I'm not even kidding. It's true, okay? So I was approached by a friend of mine. He's a deacon. His name is Ahab, and he came to me, and he's 1 year older than me. And then he says, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes. You know, do you know how babies are made? And I said, yeah. Yes, you know. We always know, right? Like, you know, especially us Egyptians, we know everything, right? Yes, I know. So how? I said, like, okay, like kissing. He said, no, I'm serious. I said, yes. I said, what do you mean? I said, kissing. Like, you know, my dad has kissed my mom, and this is how I was made. So he said, no, this is not what I discovered. And he was under shock himself. He was 1 year older than me, and I don't know how, like, because we start studying about the biology of sexuality in, which is here, grade 9. Like, we have 6 elementary, and then junior high 3, and then 3. So it was, like, you know, 9 years down the road, so 9 years in school. So we're talking here, grade 7, 9, the equivalent. But here, grade 9, know everything, right? So the guy said, this is what happens. And he started to explain things. I said, what are you talking about? He said, this is how it happened. And I was 12 at that time, and I, for some reason, like, you know, I didn't hit my puberty, so I didn't really know what he's talking about. And then I said, are you serious? He said, yes, I'm serious. So I went out, I remember, and I said, like, I came to Ahab and I said, like, Abuna, who is with us in the, you know, in the camp, he has kids. He did that. And he said, yes. And he was my father in confession at that time. And honestly, I went out and other teams were playing soccer. And I remember I kept looking at him and then just like looking at him, honest to God. And I started to cry. And I started to cry, like, you know, what is this? Like, you know, what is this? And the shock was just like, you know, continued for some time till I verified that what Ahab told me is true. And I said, oh my God. So maybe like, you know, if there are kids like, you know, who attend Bible school downstairs and hear my story, that's really like, you know, really. But that's story of some people. I'm one of these people. So like, I want you to just revise this biological process again. One cell, I don't know if it's going to work here. Yeah, one cell. You can't even see it with your naked eye. We call it a sperm. Meets with another cell that we call an ovum. And then together they form another united cell that differentiate into an embryo and later on a human being. Just think about this miracle. So today, all what I'm asking you behind, just like, you know, the fun of just like, you know, talking about how things are made, da-da-da. Please, give it some time thinking how miraculous this is. How miraculous and how amazing this is. And this is one thing that you need to elevate your thoughts when you think about it, because it's just like, I don't believe when people say, oh, we don't believe in a God and this is all evolution. And I find this very, I'm sorry, like, you know, like no intelligence whatsoever to say that. So this is what I am trying to do tonight, just like open our eyes on this miracle, try to embrace this miracle of sexuality. So for this to happen, God And as I said, other people say evolution, but God designed a complex process. He designed a complex process. And in this complex process, he used physical means and non-physical means. And then he put something else to this process. So thanks for blessing you, helped me just like do that. So we'll try to... So what do we mean by God? He edited the scenario, the biological scenario. And that was not, it was meant to be. So it's not just like something that happened on its own when he created the human. It was designed. It was designed. So the words that I'm going to say right now, instead of just like, oh my God, how come Uncle Samir dare say this in the church? Don't think of it this way. So when I say sex hormones, puberty, menarche, menstruation, intercourse, ejaculation, orgasm, don't bite your lips and say, oh, that was... No. Please, this is a process. Everything in this process was written by the hand of God, and it's very holy, and it's very sacred. So there is no shame here. There is no shame when we talk about this process. If you hear the word orgasm, tonight we want to just like go back before the sin entered and we discovered our nakedness and the story of Adam and Eve, right? The Bible tells us as soon as they disobeyed, what happened? They discovered their nakedness. Before that, it was a beautiful state of purity and innocence, right? So today we would like to clothe again this process with this garment of glory. Just like take a garment and put it on it again, because it is a very sacred process. There's no shame about it, okay? So this is the biological part that God meant. So I'm going to put it here. And everything here is going to be like physical, okay? So when we say, for instance, sex hormones, this is not just like in my brain. No, it's chemistry, right? So there are sex hormones in my body. Yes, there are. So everything under biological, it's physical. It's something that you can touch, you can see. If you can't see by the naked eye, you can see under a microscope, you can prove it. So everything here is physical, okay? Now, this process also God added to it. It needed also something non-physical. Non-physical. And this is, you can just like put things as emotions, laws of attraction between human beings, my knowledge about it, my education. So all those non-physical, we're going to put it under probably psychological, okay? Psychological. And then God added to the recipe another component, which is probably, it is physical and non-physical. This component is called pleasure. So I'll tell you why I said it's physical and non-physical, because when I feel the pleasure of something, whether it's a sexual encounter or is it a pleasure that I got from eating something, I feel happy. And this state of happiness, maybe it's non-physical. But you know what? We prove that we have what we call endorphins that are secreted in our brains. And sexual encounters between lovers or between, married people, it ends up secreting these endorphins in the brain. And yes, part of it is physical too. So those are the three components, right? And for this process to happen. Okay? We understand? Okay. So from this introduction, I just like want to narrow it down to, this is holy, this is meant to be, okay? And I want you to forget the vision about text that the Word has given us. This is very holy. And if tonight the take-home message is only just like you go home and you know that sex is pure, sex is holy, to me that's perfect as an introduction to what comes next. And to be honest with you, this in itself is going to answer lots of questions, as we will see. If we take the holiness of the whole sexuality away from sexuality, we will stay here till probably next week debating on things. Why and why not, da-da-da. But when we start looking at things from a spiritual angle, Ruh Rabbana, like the Holy Spirit, is going to just like, you know, give you answers without Abuna or Uskuf or Uncle Samir giving you an answer. Okay, so God meant for this to happen between the two stars of his creation, which were Adam and Eve. The two stars, not between three or four, or he meant it this way. And you understand what I want to say. Okay. But we all know that we live now in a culture where if you're not sexually active, there's something wrong about you. There is. Like, you know, some people are being ridiculed that, like, oh, you're maybe 20 or 20-something and you never had sex before? How come? Like, you know? So it's becoming very, you know, automatic in my practice when girls come for medication or even antibiotic. Are you on medication? And I say, are you on medication? She says, no. And I learned to ask, are you on birth control pills? Oh, yeah. So I say, that's a medication. It became so, it's like, you know, we're eating bomboni. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. They don't count this even as a contraceptive tool, or that's not a medication. That's just like something normal. And I explained, the reason I'm asking for this is that some antibiotic, we prove that, like, you know, it lowers the efficacy of the birth control pills. So you need to use a backup method so that you don't end up becoming pregnant because you're taking antibiotic muscle for a tonsillitis or whatever. So it's my duty as a doctor to know that those people, you know, I'm giving them instructions and they are safe. So, but I'm just telling you that when they answer, it's automatic no, and me it's automatic, are you on birth control pills? And 9 times out of 10, it's yes, or 8 times to be honest. So we live in that society. And is this society, and is it affecting us to a certain extent? Yes, it's a pressure. It's a pressure, Yani. Are they right and am I wrong? Or are we sure we are doing the right thing? We're not just like losing our time? So we need to go in depth into this and talk about it frankly. We know now how to prevent sexually transmitted illnesses. I remember, like, you know, when I started to be your age, and after I understood very well the process, and we started to have the same questions because we are human beings, we have desire, I'm attracted to a girl, and I feel, and then, you know, the things that used to deter us from doing this was like, you know, oh, like, you know, you don't want her to become pregnant. Now we know. It's easy. Like, you know, we use barriers or we use pills or whatever. That's easy. You don't want to catch an illness that's going to change your life for the rest of your life. That's easy. Like, you know, we know how to educate ourselves and to cure. Even if I caught STI, we know how to treat it. Not only that. Like, you know, HIV. Like, I remember I broke the bad news of HIV to a girl before, when I was in Winnipeg, and oh my God, like, you know, like the girl stood up and she kept banging her head against the wall, and she just like would pull. She was a nurse, so like for her to, this is just gonna change her life, you know. But to be honest with you, like even now when we counsel a patient who has STI, which is HIV in particular. We tell them, that's okay, we have medication now that keep the viral load very low, and you're just gonna lead a normal life as long as we have, we keep an eye on you, and you have to probably share with your partner, and you have to protect yourself, but don't worry, you're not gonna die, you're just gonna... So we have, it's like we have found a solution for everything. We have found a solution for everything to make things just like green light. So we know this, and I'm not going to talk about that, but if we still, if we know all those tools to protect ourselves and we chose not to go this route, we might be asked by people, why? Like, okay, so why? Like the person who might ask you, like, or friend or whatever, did you have encounters before? And you said, no, I didn't. Like, if you are asked this question, like, you know, we need to have an answer, right? We need to have, and then an answer that is, like, when it comes out peacefully. I am in harmony with what I am saying. It's not something because, like, our church say this, so... Sorry, that's stupid. Like, no. I mean, I need to, like, you know, God has given me intelligence and a power to think. And I need also, God created man, and he asked him to do things and not to do things. But he has given him the freedom of choosing, right? So when you decide, yes, I'm not, and you are asked why, this is why we're talking tonight. Why? Why are we looking at probably at even if we are struggling, but why are we holding ourselves, or why are we different from the outer world? So imagine, like, I give you eyeglasses and the color of the lenses is blue, for instance. I'm gonna make you see everything painted with a blue brush, right? Or a different color. So our Christianity is like this. The moment you take the Christian, just like, let's use this analogy. I'm gonna take this Christian glasses, I'm gonna put it, and I'm gonna take it off. This, I am living in the world, and I'm going by what the world teaches me and says. This is, I'm still living in the world, but there is something different here. I see things from a new perspective, from a new angle. We agree? And this is what Christianity does to us, by the way. We live in the world, but we see things from a completely different angle. And this different angle does not mean that we cannot live among people. Absolutely not. We saw Jesus, how he was liked by everyone, by simple people, by sinners, right? So it doesn't mean because I'm Christian that I don't know how to hang out with people outside. Absolutely not. And the person who will tell you, oh, you're Christian, stay away from blah, 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 and then don't ever talk to them. St. Paul, in one of his epistles, said, like, if this is Christianity, then we cannot be in the world. We have to leave this world, physically leave it and go somewhere else. It doesn't work this way. So every time I am going to take off this Christian way of seeing things, and I will try to reconcile, I'll try to reconcile what the church and what God wants with what the world wants, you are going to struggle and struggle hard. I'm going to repeat this. If you decide to just, like, take this, take a break, but you want to reconcile things together, it's not going to work. And you're going to struggle. And who knows, maybe just like you break. And by the way, this talk, it doesn't mean that if someone here, just like, you know, had an experience, it doesn't mean that halas, yani, no. Every day, that's what we love about our Christianity. Every day, God gives me, it's a new beginning. It's a new day. Even if I have done something in the past, and I, let's say I repented, and I chose to change my direction, excellent. That's very good. So it's not about making people feel bad if they have tried things, you know? This is not about it. But all what we're trying to do here is we need to find peace, and we need to make sure that this Christian way of living and seeing things, it's with me all the time. It's with me all the time. Okay, so if I ask you tonight, how do you perceive sexuality? How are you going to answer this question? How do you perceive it? So to answer this question, and we're talking, as I said, we're trying to link everything to our spirituality, you need to first locate yourself on a spiritual map. It's like, you know, when you go into the mall and you think you're lost, so you want to know, you stand in front of this information panel, and there's one arrow that shows you are here, right? Because if this arrow is not there, you're completely lost, right? So you need to know on a spiritual map where you are. So imagine with me, we have like, for instance, like, you know, a scale like this, okay? The far bottom of it is completely away from spirituality. And as we progress here, we're going more and more towards this spiritual pole, okay? So here, it's just, let's call it the stage of a purely lustful person. Someone who is Christian, but he's stuck into this bottom of the scale. And there are some people here, there are some people there, some people higher up. We're all different on the scales. We agree? Our spirituality is different. That's why we say some people are Kuddisin and some people are just like struggling like us. So we are all struggling. And as Christians, all what we are supposed to do is just like try to go against the flow, go against gravity, and, you know, escalate, go up, right? So, but to answer this question, when I said, how do you perceive sexuality, the answer will depend where you are on that scale. So someone will ask me, what about other people who are not, let's say you're not Christian? So if we ask someone who is not Christian, he doesn't care about, like, you know, religion or, and lots of this we see these days, but they are very good people and, you know, they are fairly very well educated, and but they see the world differently. And then you ask them, how do you perceive sexuality? And they will tell you, oh, it's just like it's a mean to procreate and to bring kids, right, and populate the earth. And it's a mean to enjoy and to feel the pleasure of a sexual encounter with the person I love. And that's acceptable. Let's come to us Christians. How are we going to answer this question? How do you perceive sexuality? So if I am a very spiritual person, this is how I'm going to view it. And maybe, like, when I was just, like, meditating about this, this is a personal, like, you know, thought. It might look just, like, excessive to some people or a little bit crazy, but this is true. This is God, this is a way God chose to make me, listen to what I'm going to say, to make me a partner in creation. So let's take this and go a little bit deeper. What do I mean? Because when I have kids, regardless of the number of those kids, and I spend time and energy on them and educate them, and we're all going to die, and we all have hope that we're going to be in heaven, my kids included. So every person that comes to earth and goes to heaven, do we believe that heaven is just like going to stay for 100 years and then it's gone? Or is it an eternity? It's an eternity. So every person you bring to earth and you make sure that they make it to heaven, you have added one new person to heaven. Have you ever thought about that? No, I'm serious. Have you ever, did anyone think about that before? I personally only thought about it like maybe 2 days ago when I was just like trying to put something together to talk about this. And I said, what's this? Like, you know, when I have sex with my wife, regardless of just like, you know, what happens, and oh, my wife is pregnant, oh, we have a boy or a girl, and then they made it to heaven. This is for eternity. So think of it this way. And that's why I'm telling you today, just like, let's try to revive this spirituality behind our sexuality again. This sexual act will bring more inhabitants to heaven. So God, a spiritual person, will look at sexuality and say, this is something very amazing. Like, God is partnering with me to populate the kingdom of heaven. Make sense? It makes sense, right? Because if what I said right now doesn't make sense, so we don't believe in anything actually, and we're wasting our time. If we don't believe in heaven, and then we're struggling to go, then really, let's have fun. Let's go, masalan, eat ice cream and have fun. To be honest with you, but if this is true, then yes, don't forget that sexuality for us now, Christian, is a tool to achieve that. Now, let's go to that person that we called at the end of this here. Someone, zero spirituality. Like, I'm Christian, yes, maybe by name, but just like, or I have no spiritual life or connection whatsoever. How are you going to explain sexuality? Oh, it's just like too much fun. It's too much pleasure. And it is. It is. So imagine if God has given us a process like eating food, because we can't live without eating. But he did not give us taste buds. Imagine how boring eating would be. Right? Right? We would probably even forget about eating, and then maybe we would die from famine or whatever. But because we enjoy the food, we want to go back and eat again, right? Same thing happens with sex. So there is so much pleasure in it that, like, you know, you want to have more and more and more. So God meant it this way, by the way, and this is not a world-designed thing. No, this is what God made. God has invented this process, as we said at the beginning. He put the components for it, and he added the pleasure. So if you go to a person, let's say, who has no spirituality, doesn't care about any spirituality, and let's say he tried sex, he will look at thing as it's pleasurable. It's something like you enjoy. So what about procreation? Yes, it could happen. Yes, it could happen, just happened, right? Like, you know, the girl I love is pregnant, and now we have to live with the consequences. So this is a completely different view for sexuality. It's a completely different view for sexuality. So when I ask you, how do you perceive sexuality, ask yourself tonight, like, you know, okay, like, you know, do I look at it as just like a process that's going to be pleasurable when I have sex, or is it something, as I said at the beginning, I'm not going to repeat, it's something like, you know, so holy, and God wanted it to be like this because he is making a partner in creation, he's making of me a partner in creation. So the danger of maybe, you know, a sexual activity outside its true boundaries, let's say, like, true boundaries, I mean, like, you know, a marriage where, you know, I took my wife from the hand of God, like, it has been, you know, blessed by the Holy Spirit to my parents, her parents. I don't need to talk about marriage, but away from this, The danger of it is that it will open my eyes on something called the pleasure. And we human beings, we always want more. Give me something that makes me feel good, and I want more of it. It's never the same thing. It's never. I remember the first TV we had. It was black and white. Like, we did not stop at this. We wanted color, and then after color, now we wanted 3D, and things will continue. We never stop. We don't know how to stop. So when we start to discover the pleasure early on, the danger is this pleasure could become a goal in itself. Listen here. So I look at it, if I'm a spiritual person, that my sexuality, it's a mean, it's a tool, as we said, to have blessed families. Someone else will have the sexual pleasure as not, it's not a tool. The sexuality is not a tool. It's a goal. And this goal, I'm going to look for it every time, you know, I meet with someone else. I am looking for that pleasure, and it becomes a goal. And we will see how this is going to change how we approach each other. So don't tell me that when I am blinded by this pleasure, that I can open up to the person in front of me and know that person and look at all the faculties and see if this person, like, you know, is mature enough or not mature enough. It will stop me at one stage because I'm so fixated on the pleasure. Make sense? So this will become number one in my relationship. And I'm not telling you something that I invented. We see it every day. We see it every day. So a boy with a girl, for instance, and then, you know, even if this girl behaves, like an idiot, and he thinks he loves her, and then a friend says, like, but she behaved like an idiot. So he will tell his friend, no, she's cute. You know, what she does, you know, that's not idiocy. She's cute. Put this two together in marriage. And after maybe 2 months, this same guy is going to tell, kifaya haram aleiki, you know, stop what you're doing. But this is what we are blinded. Like, you know, this pleasure at an early phase could blind me. And not only that, like, you know, it will stop something very important, which is this component. I haven't talked about it. This, I don't need to talk about it because, like, you know, once we hit our puberty, we're maybe, like, here, we're, excuse my term, but this is the strongest, maybe, power I have. And then as I get older, this curve goes down and down. There is no way to just, like, you know, try to deny that. This is true. When sexuality starts, it starts very strong, and as we age, it goes down, right? Okay, I asked myself a question yesterday. I said, like, okay, God, like, you know, you gave me something, and I have it, and you're asking me not to use it. Is this fair? Why didn't you give it to me maybe 10 years later when I was ready for marriage? And then after, masalan, Abuna pray for me, there is this secret button, you press on it, oh, I can do it. Why? Why? No, I'm serious. Why? I thought about it. Remember at the beginning of the talk, I told you that while sexuality could destroy us, it could also be a tool that could build us and edify us. How? This is what I want you to focus, and then we'll stop after that. We can continue later on. So this whole thing, sometimes when you think about it, doesn't make sense. So I'm giving you something, and I'm saying, don't use it. But don't use it doesn't mean that I'm going to put your hands in handcuffs and I'm not allowing you to do what you want. No. I just like said, and does this remind us of something? Yes, it does. It reminds me of our story, Adam and Eve in the paradise. You know, everything was there for them and they were happy, but there was this nagging one tree, right? And God said, of every tree you can eat, but not this one. We know what happened. So it looks like with this game, it looks like this game is repeating itself. And you have, listen to what I'm going to say, you have the freedom to obey or not to obey. I'm going to repeat it because this is very important. Think of it this way, because tonight, as I said, we want to focus on the spirituality of what we're doing. And we want to throw this holy garment again on this sexual thing. It's like God has given you everything beautiful, but he's saying, don't do it. But if you want to do it, do it. If you obey, you become a new Adam and a new Eve who manage not to fall into this temptation. And what happens when we obey God? What happens when we obey God? Just like the gate of blessings and joy and true happiness will open. Because our story really begins its real glory when we obey. The story of any man or any woman begins to understand the glory of humanity when we obey God. So it's like, again, it's like God has given you something and he's just like, I want Isaac. What? I want you to sacrifice Isaac for me. So we know how Adam and Eve behaved, and we saw how Abraham behaved. Big contrast. One who obeyed, and we know the end of the story. We know that God is not going to take Isaac from Abraham, right? It's the opposite. He blessed him, right? So it's the same thing here. But why? So I asked myself, why? Okay, I obeyed. But why? So the whole thing is this, guys. The whole thing is this. This is, God wants you to be mature psychologically. So in your, you know, first it starts with obedience, number one. And then give yourself time for maturity. Give yourself time to understand yourself, to understand life, to understand, to be educated, to have knowledge on everything. So that when the day comes, you are a mature person who know how to take responsibility. Right? This is what happens. If I am blinded early on with this thing, it's terrible. It even makes me not focus on myself. So God is asking you to obey, not because he wants to yazibna, to torture us. No, because everything has time under the sun. Everything has a time. Everything has a time. So a person who knows how to wait, and a person who is disciplined, and a person who obeys, is going to be the successful husband, reliable husband or wife down the road, because they could tell themselves, yes, we can do it for now, and I'm happy with my decision. So it is very important that we also, as I said, like, you know, if we are asked by people why, we are comfortable. We say, it's not because the church said that, it's because it's a personal choice. So, but why personal choice? Because I know that, like, you know, if I obey, I know that if I delay this thing, it doesn't mean that I'm losing the thing. There's a big difference. It's not because I'm waiting for the proper time, and right now I'm just like taking care of everything, taking care of making God the Alpha and the Omega in my life, and taking care of just like growing, like taking care of, you know, I want to be able one day when I look at the other person, not to see the person as an object, And this is what's happening right now. People see each other as objects. So if you are an object to me, I want to try you, yes. Like, if I look at a girl as an object, yes, I should be able to try her in bed because I take her to marriage and things are bad. And this is the mentality how our society thinks. That's why it's normal. It's normal to sit together and talk together, but it's normal also to try each other. And this is terrible. This is wrong. So if this person is pleasing me, but she's an idiot again, like, you know, who cares? Who cares? Like, you know, and I am immature myself, so that I don't know how to carry responsibilities in the future. And I see it all the time. I have, like, you know, teenagers, 16 years old with two babies, and I feel terrible for them. And like the dad, well, I mean, like, he just, you know, he ran away. Of course he would run away. He was looking for a pleasure. So we need to understand that what we are doing, it's not only because the church said that or my parents said that. No, it's a choice. I am going to make myself understand and become in harmony with it. I think it's 10:20 and I should stop, but this talk will continue, inshallah. Yeah, there was just like one analogy that, like, you know, I want to say it. Imagine I took a fortune, and I went to one of my kids and I put it in his or in her account, and I said, this is a huge fortune for you, but it's under your name, but you know what? I don't want you to use it now. Just like, you know, when you graduate, use it. So if this kid now say, okay, like, I'm gonna forget about it right now. I'm gonna just, like, you know, educate myself. I'm gonna just, like, do everything I should be doing, discipline myself. When this person reaches a time where he can put his hand on this fortune and this money, he will be able to make right choices, right? Now, if this kid starts to do otherwise and put his hand on this fortune and starts to find that, wow, that's easy. I can get everything I want to put my hand on. It's easy to get. And then, oh, why am I studying? Like, you know, why am I just, like, getting myself the stress of writing a test and da-da-da? And then isn't it because just, like, eventually I need to have a career because I need to have money and then spend? I have all the money. So why do I even have to do this? And then this kid might end up just, like, stopping education, stopping everything, stopping maturity, and just, like, using this. And this is exactly the same thing. Like, you know, because there is so much pleasure that God has put in sexuality, whoever tries it will never say, no, it was good, but you know what, I'm going to stay away from it for another 5-6 years. No. So it will become a little bit just like challenging. Now, if someone asked me, Uncle Samir, listen, like, you know, let's say I'm in love and I am at university and, you know, a couple years from now, we're both mature, parents know, and, like, is there like, you know, a danger in not becoming sexually active together? Well, here it might be a little bit different, but again, like, you know, the old answers that we heard before, and they are not very bad, by the way. Like, you know, back home they used to say for people, because we used to have, like, you know, conventions with bishops, and we used to ask this question, especially when we were in university, your age, and I knew that I love a person and she loves me, but we can't have sex enough for now. So some questions, like, you know, if we know everything, so the bishop would answer, say, like, can you guarantee that, like, you know, you're going to be alive to make it? Maybe you die, then you made this girl miserable, right? So those, and then another very old traditional argument is, like, do you want this to happen to your sister? And then, of course, we are like Egyptians say, no. So, okay, don't do it to her. Stuff like that. But we're probably in a different culture here. And we are, as I said, like we can protect ourselves from just like diseases. We can protect pregnancy from happening. But don't forget what I said, guys. And God, even though you think you're mature, God wants you to mature even more. And he wants you to learn the discipline of obedience. Because as I said, like, you know, our glory starts when we obey. Okay? So thank you very much. We'll find a way to have you send anonymous questions. And I hope this, just like introduction, paved the way for us to be more, you know, upfront and talk about things so that we are comfortable. Be comfortable, because honestly, as I said at the beginning, we're not talking about something ghaib. We're talking about something that has been, yes, destroyed by the word. This is very holy. What we're talking about, and the words that I uttered at the beginning, you know, this is very holy. So when I say just like, you know, intercourse and whatever, this is, what's wrong with that? This is what God meant for this to happen. It's holy. I have no shame saying this. Not because I'm a doctor. No, I have no shame. So we will try together just like to have this, you know, holy vision when we talk about things. It's not like, let's hide.